We're at that point in our worship where we open the Word of God and we take some time to reflect on God's Word. This morning, our Scripture's coming from two different places. We're going to begin with reading from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to turn to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. So, I don't know if you have pew Bibles. Oh, I guess it's up there. So, see, every church is a little different. So, but if you have it on your tablet or phone or in the pew or your own Bible, I encourage you to open them and follow along as well. Sometimes it helps you to make connections to the message as well. So we begin with Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now we turn to the first book in the New Testament, to Matthew. Matthew is written by a Jewish disciple for Jewish people. So you're going to, when you read Matthew, you hear a lot of references to the Old Testament and to the events in the Old Testament as well. So Jesus is beginning his ministry, and he gives this powerful sermon, and this is the part that we call the Beatitudes. So now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The word of the Lord. Father, we're here this morning and we've gathered together at home and online, both near and far, to worship you and to praise you. We've sung praise, we've been welcomed by you, we've heard your greeting, we've been able to share in your generosity by giving, and now we hear and listen to your word. Lord, I pray that this time of worship will shape us and form us more and more into the people you call us to be. And Lord, I pray that the words which will be spoken next, Lord, may they be your words and not mine. Pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The theme today is blessings. And blessings are God's gifts. And they can be material or they can be spiritual. But bless can also be a verb, and to bless is to speak God's presence into a person's life. Over the last few years, I've been amazed at the conversations I've had with people who are going through difficult times, and it has been a difficult period the last, 4 or 5 years. And so many of them will come and they'll say, "I know you're a pastor in the community, and I just got some questions for you." And they're questions that I don't know where to find answers to. And they'll ask, "Has God forgotten me? Is God angry at me?" Because things are so difficult and things are so hard and I have friends who aren't friends anymore, and it sometimes feels like we're just an angry society, and it's trickled into all my relationships. And some of them will say, you know, my marriage is broken up, my relationship, or I've lost my job, or I lost my house. There's been so many, many things that have made life difficult. And they feel like they're being left behind, or they just feel like nobody cares. And that if there's a God out there, that God doesn't care either. And then they wonder, how can I get it back into God's good graces? How can I experience better times again? And they're expressing a feeling that's not uncommon. I've heard this from friends who are pastors in other parts of the Canada and the States as well. But they're also expressing a feeling that you can also find in the Scripture time and time again. That if times are hard, it means that God must be unhappy with us and that he's holding back his blessings. And they'll look at people like Abram, whom God promises to bless, and they'll look at the people whom Jesus offers blessings to, and they wish that God would bless them. One gentleman says, I even know the blessing that God gives to Abram. He says, you know, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I'll show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And you'll be a blessing. And he says, wouldn't that be great if God would do that with me? And I says, but you know, God's putting into action a plan to kind of redeem and restore all creation. So when God's blessing Abraham, it's not just for Abraham alone. It's for like all of us. And it begins with an old couple who couldn't have kids. And at that time, it must have gone through their head. Yeah, is God unhappy with me? Why doesn't he bless me? And now the blessing comes, but it comes and it brings fears. The blessing's powerful. Sarah's barren. Children are a great blessing. But this blessing's coming in a culture of Abram's time where one of the big fears of people was to die far away from home, away from your land, away from your family and culture, because you might be forgotten. If you move away from where your family is and you die, who's going to remember you? Who's going to care? Who's going to carry your stories to your children and your grandchildren or to the rest of your community? And that fear kind of gives me an understanding, you know, of why Joseph later on asked for people to bring his bones back to the promised land when he dies, because he doesn't want to be buried in Egypt. He doesn't want to be forgotten. Gives us a glimpse into Abraham and Sarai, just how hard this blessing was going to be. The call of this blessing is not easy. And they choose to trust in the Lord and his promised blessings. They leave family and friends behind. They leave for the land and the blessings promised to them. And the Lord does bless them as they leave everything familiar behind. That doesn't mean that everything was easy. In the Bible, those who God uses in his plan of redemption also find that life becomes harder, much harder than expected. Abram and Sarah, they face opposition and a life spent as nomads in this new land without ever having a true home. Becoming a great nation begins with a false start and an Egyptian slave girl and a great deal of grief for everybody. And it's not till about 24 years later, after leaving Haran, that Sarai gives birth to a boy. Many of the blessings that are promised to Abram and Sarai lay far, far, far into the future, far long after their deaths. It takes an amazing amount of trust and faith to wait for the blessings to work their way out through following generations. They were practicing sacrificing today for generations yet to come. And I think of my own grandparents who immigrated from the Netherlands after the war, and they knew that life was not going to be easy coming to a new land with a new language and leaving all the rest of the family behind. And yet I remember my papa saying, I had to do it because I had to think of my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I couldn't think just about myself. He recognized that it sometimes takes sacrifice to experience blessings, not for himself, but for his family after him. Some of the thinking that was going on in Abram and Sarai's mind. And God is faithful to Abram and Sarai's descendants. He makes them into a great nation. They experience both blessings and hard times. They know they've been chosen as God's people. However, they often forget the second part of the blessing given to Abram. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will bless. And all nations on earth will be blessed through you. God's chosen them to reveal to the nations who God is and how God calls us to live with him and each other. God blesses Israel with the Torah and all the laws given at Mount Sinai, including the Ten Commandments, to help them be a blessing to each other, but also a blessing to all the nations, giving them a glimpse of what and who their God is compared to the gods of the nations. We see a God who makes promises to his people, promises that are going to impact all people. We see a God who keeps his promises even when his people fail to keep their promises back to him. We encounter a God who remains present with his people, guiding them, chastising them, allowing the consequences of their choices, to often sinful choices, to open their eyes and hearts in order to guide them back to God. And God reveals himself as a jealous God, jealous for his people, for their faithfulness to him alone, a God who refuses to share his people with other gods. He's a God who punishes, but he's a God who forgives, a God who continues to bless and to be with his people. You see, hard times doesn't mean that God's angry with us or ignoring us. Often hard times come because as God's people, we don't fit in with the gods of our times, and Satan will push back against us. We're not exempt from the hard times that all people face, like economic downturns and pandemics and natural disasters and wars or poor government. And we see so much of that. Just turn on the news. The lack of experience of blessings doesn't mean a lack of God. Sometimes it's merely silence. It may also be that we don't always recognize how God is blessing us. So many of the blessings are smaller daily moments, sometimes easily overlooked. It's the roof over our head, the food on our table. It's about being able to come to church on a Sunday morning and to find one person who is willing to listen as we say, wow, it was a hard week. Or it may be that person who hears that things are going a little bit difficult and quietly reaches out and says, can I come and walk alongside you? At school, it can be that student who recognizes that, wow, you're having a hard time in this subject, or maybe you're having a hard time in a relationship and you don't fit in, but you know what? I'm going to fit in with you. I'm going to be there with you. But there are those times of silence. And it is like that in the scripture as well. Between the Old Testament and New Testament, many, many years of silence. And then an angel appears to a young woman who tells her, greetings, you who are highly favored, you who are blessed. The Lord's with you. And a new chapter in God's relationship with the world's beginning. A new level of blessing has come. And this young girl's Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Son of God, the one through whom God is going to bless all people, the promised Messiah who's come to save all his people, working out his plan of redemption as shown to Abram, all peoples will be blessed through you. It's a great blessing to be the mother of the Son of God, but it comes with a soiled reputation for becoming pregnant before marriage. It comes with seeing her son rejected. It comes seeing her son die on a cross. Mary understood from God's history with them that those whom God uses in this plan will find life becomes harder than expected. But she accepts her role and says, "May it be so as you have said." She trusts God. She says, "I know this is not going to be easy, but I know that you'll be with me." And Jesus grows up. And Matthew records Jesus beginning his ministry by preaching and teaching and healing people throughout the area of Galilee. And he begins calling a number of disciples to follow him. And there are the people in the crowd. These are the people in the crowd as Jesus preaches his great sermon on the mount in Matthew 5 through 7. But Jesus gets them. He understands them. He knows them. He's been walking with them. He's been hearing their stories. He's been watching them relate to each other. He knows the culture in his, he knows what's going on with Rome. He knows the joys, and he knows the heartbreaks of the people. He sees and hears what's going on in their lives. And so he begins his great sermon with blessings for regular, ordinary people. He sees them and their hearts. And he reaches out to bless the people in their places of need. The Beatitudes, as Dallas Willard writes, are explanations and illustrations drawn from the immediate setting of the present availability of the kingdom of heaven through a personal relationship with Jesus. And Jesus looks out over the crowd. And he recognizes the poor in spirit. He recognizes those who are drifting spiritually. He sees these people, and he sees that, yes, they are part of the people of God, and they're Jewish, and they go to the temple for the sacrifices, and they do the religious things. But they're also people that you would never think of asking for advice or for wisdom when it comes to spiritual things or knowledge. You would never ask them to pray for you or over you. They would never ask them to lead a Bible study. These are those who experience church as just religion, often feeling unseen or unknown by God. And Jesus sees them, and he blesses them with a place in the kingdom of heaven. He lets them know that God does see them, that they do belong. And he hears her often silent spiritual desperation. Jesus sees those who are mourning. And they could be mourning about so many different things. They may have lost spouses or children. They may be being oppressed. Maybe, you know, a Roman soldier just kind of took his anger out on them. And they may be have broken bodies. There can be so many things. They may have lost jobs or land or simply struggling. There are so many things to mourn over, and Jesus sees them and says, "You'll be comforted. The kingdom of heaven is right here. I see your pain, I see your sorrow, but you will be filled with the comfort of the Father." He sees the meek, who never stand up for themselves and who often let others walk over them. Those who've had their stuff taken away from them. And he blesses them with inheriting the earth in the kingdom as they've never been strong enough to claim it for themselves here. Jesus looks out over the people, and he sees for those who burn for things to be right, for the way they're supposed to be. Maybe that they know their own hearts, and they know that they're not who they're supposed to be. Maybe they've just been wronged, and they want justice. And God says, and Jesus says, you know what? I bless you in the kingdom of heaven with the fullness of rightness. It's going to be right again one day. Things are going to be the way they're supposed to be. Jesus recognizes the merciful. He recognizes how often they're looked down on because they're not tough enough. At least that's what the people around them say. Jesus says, you know, just as you have shown mercy, just as your hearts have led the way and you have expressed the kindness of God to others, you're going to be shown mercy as well in the kingdom of heaven. They're the pure heart. They recognize how impure they are themselves. And they know the only way they can become pure is to turn to God, and that God will wash them whiter than snow. And that promise they receive is that they'll see God because they'll be washed clean from all their sin, all their impurity, and they'll be able to stand before God face to face. I love how that song referenced that. And then Jesus sees the peacemakers. He sees how they're not really trusted or respected by either side. My brother's a police officer and out east, and he spent a lot of time on teams that would go into homes where there's domestic violence and brokenness, and he'd go into hostage situations, and he would negotiate so that they could find some peace and some hope. And he would work with couples because of his faith after work to help find some reconciliation, some hope, and some peace. And he says it was so hard because you would come into these broken situations and neither side would trust you because you're not completely for them, so they believe you're completely for the other. I love how Jesus says, you'll be called sons of God. Maybe an echo to Jesus being the Prince of Peace. Jesus coming to reconcile us with God the Father. And then there are those who are persecuted because they stand for what's right. And we know this can often be dangerous. They even make laws in secular society for whistleblowers so that they can stand for what's right and not be punished or be taken advantage of or put aside. It can be dangerous. But like the poor in spirit, Jesus says, you'll be blessed with a place in the kingdom of heaven. I see these beatitudes, I see these blessings, and it makes me realize and know that Jesus sees us. He sees our hearts. He sees where we are at as individuals, as church communities. And he reaches out to bless us where we most need his blessings. He understands our need for his blessings, having lived in difficult times himself. Having lived with difficult people, having experienced so much of what he has just offered, he has mourned, he has lost, he has been rejected, he has tried to bring peace, he's tried to bring hope, and it led to a cross. But because of that, he gets it. He understands us. Paul recognizes that as well. He recognizes that God's blessings, even in suffering, can be a benefit and a blessing to others. In his second letter to Corinthians, Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." My mother experienced that reality when my sister died in a car accident. She went to church, and there was another lady in the congregation whose daughter had died in a car accident as well. And I still remember her coming up to my mom and wrapping her arms around her and saying, God is with you and he'll carry you through. And my mom later on said that she could accept her comfort because she knew exactly what she was going through. God allows us sometimes to go through difficult times ourselves so that we can reach out and be a blessing. But we realize that at its heart, Jesus is the source of our comfort and blessings. He's with us through the difficult and joyous times. He encourages us through the Holy Spirit, equipping us to walk with others and letting God's comfort and blessing flow through us. The Holy Spirit shapes us and forms us so that we can be that example to the world of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus' greatest blessing to us is found in the cross, in forgiveness and adoption as children of God, giving us a place in the kingdom, his kingdom. But these blessings call for a response, calls us to be blessings, to using our life experiences to bless others, to walk alongside others, and to point them to the presence of Jesus. In being a blessing, I can also promise you that you'll experience God's blessings as you do so. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for being a God of blessing, even in those times when we don't feel you near, even when we wonder if you understand. And then we remember that Jesus came and that he does understand and that he speaks into our lives in those places we're at and in the call, your call, to be a blessing as well and to point others to the greatest blessing, to Jesus Christ. So Lord, shape us, form us, bless us, and use us to be a blessing. Amen.